We are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me as always, it's Mike Gilletto.
What is up, buddy?
What's up, man? Now, before we get into today's show, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington and Mike at Mike underscore Gilletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and lastwordonsports.com.
There's actually a new platform, too.
Oh, is there?
Not necessarily Google
Play. You did
not
tell me about this.
Well, Google recently just announced that they were releasing an app called Google Podcasts.
Okay.
For Android. So if you go download Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts.
Yep. There you go. If you have an Android phone, download the Google Podcast app.
Just another way for you to get your favorite Philly sports talk show every single week, usually by Tuesday morning, most of the time Monday night. Unless Mike falls asleep.
It's happened before.
Now, we have a big show today. The NHL draft was on Friday.
Yep.
There was another draft on Thursday. We're not going to talk about that. There was a couple big trades that went down. It was a pretty big week.
Oh, it was a great week.
It was a great week if you're a hockey fan.
It's almost the best time of the year.
Yeah. I mean. So the 2018 NHL draft kicked off, as we would expect. Rasmus Dahlin goes number one to the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, everybody expected that to happen.
Now, how do you think he affects that team this year?
He walks on to the roster. Like, I don't think there's...
I think he makes them a playoff
doubt.
Team.
I don't know. They still need goaltending. Like, Robin Lehner,
they're not going to re-sign Robin Lehner.
They still need goaltending. I don't know if Ullmark is really a guy to, you know, make that team a playoff team, but...
I think they're going to get Mrazek and Ullmark as a tandem.
Yeah, but it's not a great tandem. Like,
no.
They're also in a good division in... I mean, they have Boston, who's not going anywhere. Tampa's not going anywhere.
Yeah, the Atlantic is pretty good.
Florida, who got better with a guy like Mike Hoffman. So.
Yeah. And, they had an interesting week, too. Oh, we forgot. We have to talk about the Mike Hoffman trade.
Yeah.
Because we missed that on last week's show.
Did we? Probably the original, you know, you would think fashion. It probably happened on Tuesday, right?
I think it did, yeah. Mike Hoffman got traded to San Jose for a pretty weak return. I think it was a prospect defenseman, a fifth and a sixth,
something
like that. 3 hours later, San Jose flips him to Florida and gets a better return.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird situation
Ottawa,
there.
Ottawa sent him as far as he possibly could. San Jose is literally the furthest NHL city from Ottawa. And then 3 hours later, he gets traded back in division.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. Florida's going to be scary this year. Barkov is still coming up. They have, you know, Trocheck is a really good young player. Aaron Ekblad is still kind of working on getting into his prime. Florida's going to be a scary team this year. They were in the playoff race until the last week of the season.
Yeah.
You know, the Flyers were worried about Florida.
If the Flyers lost the last game of the season, Florida's in.
Yep.
It's that simple. So that's why I don't think Buffalo's necessarily a playoff team. Maybe in a couple, you know, another year. They might fight for a wild card spot.
But. Although there is news that they're trying to trade Ryan O'Reilly.
Are they?
Yeah. He's on the block. Flyers have been listed as an interested party, but I don't necessarily know what the deal would be.
Right.
I don't think he has a particularly team-friendly deal. But, you know, we'll see if the Flyers are interested in acquiring a guy like Ryan O'Reilly to play second or third line center.
Right.
Now, before we get into, you know, really breaking down the Flyers and really getting into what the Flyers did, because the Flyers did some interesting things on draft day.
Yep.
And we'll get into that, and we'll get into the other trades that, you know, happened over the weekend in the NHL. Before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit of Phillies.
Okay.
How did the Phillies do this week, Mike?
So, on Sunday, they had the first nationally televised game since April of 2013.
Yeah, a five-year break. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess makes sense because...
They were terrible for five of those years.
But, I mean... And it seemed like a good time for it to happen because they finally have some young guys. They have some talent. They seem like they could be a player.
They're on the upswing.
Right.
And they were facing a Washington Nationals team who kind of runs this division.
Right.
They're kind of the gatekeeper for the NL East.
Right.
So if you can put up a good showing against them, you can really, you know, prove to the world, you know, prove to the country that you're here.
Right. But the country also saw how awful this bullpen is.
Yeah.
In the fifth inning, you take a 6-2 lead.
Yep.
Right. Then the Nationals score three in the sixth and three in the eighth, and that's what they did.
And that's all she wrote.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
their bullpen just isn't very good.
Yeah, you proved that you can swing with the Nationals. problem is you don't have the bullpen, and you don't, you know, it's a young team. You kind of expect a little right. bit of growing pains.
There are some trade rumors going out there right now that the San Diego Padres
are after Michael Franco.
Right, and it could get a guy like Brad Hand here. Yeah. Who's a very good reliever that would help this bullpen tremendously.
Yeah, but would you rather do that, or would you rather it be a three-team deal and get Manny Machado?
I mean, you're going to have to pay more than Michael Franco.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that maybe there's a deal there where San Diego, Baltimore, and the Phillies can all get on the phone and suit everybody's needs, right?
If possible.
If the Padres are, you know, trading a guy like Hand for a guy like Franco, you know, maybe they're looking for a little bit of youth, and the Phillies have the prospects to do it. So, you know, you ship some prospects there, they ship some people to Baltimore, and then Baltimore sends Manny Machado up here.
Right.
You know, maybe there's something there.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think they need bullpen help more. I mean, a guy like Manny Machado, of course, you know, sign me up any day of the week.
Yeah, but who plays Franco's spot if you trade him?
I mean, if Crawford has been playing there a lot. I mean, if Crawford there, and then you know, Kingery stole it short, and Hernandez at second. But yeah, it's not ideal, but their bullpen is atrocious, and they need to do something. And Morgan stinks.
Yeah, I want those moves to happen pretty close to each other, because I don't want to go 2 weeks without a third baseman.
Right.
And J.P. Crawford's good, but he's not a third baseman. He's kind of a utility guy. He roves around. He can play third.
Right.
But if he was going to play every day, it wouldn't be at third base.
Right. But they did take 2 or 3 out of the Nationals. So, yeah. I mean, so they're still 2.5 back of the Braves.
You lost the one on national TV, and that's a bit of a bummer. But, you know, you did take 2 out of 3 off a very good Washington team.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
they took 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals. So they won 2 series in a row.
Yeah. I mean, they're starting to tread in an upward direction. We talked about them last week kind of having 2 pretty down weeks. So, you know, coming back up on the upswing a little bit here, as we move a little closer to the All-Star break. And after the All-Star break is really when you start thinking about playoffs.
Right. I mean, I think these next 2 series, even the series that just passed, the next 2 series are really going to kind of prove if they belong. And I mean, they start a 3-game set on Monday night against the New York Yankees.
That's a big
one.
They
come to town. Yeah. And then after that, they have a 4-game set with the Nationals again. Yeah.
Yeah. That 4-game set with the Nationals is absolutely enormous.
Yeah.
And we'll be keeping an eye on that as the Phillies kind of tick 1 step closer, right? After you come out of the All-Star break, you can start thinking about playoffs a little bit, and that can help you make your moves coming up to the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like the old adage is, you can't win the pennant in April, but you can lose it in April.
Of course.
So the fact that they haven't lost it in April or May or so far in June is a good sign.
Yeah, we only got a week left of June.
Right, so. Exactly. So it's... It's not out of the realm of possibility that the Phillies think they're a playoff contender this year.
Yeah, they're definitely in the hunt.
And go about the trade deadline as such. You know, right. You know, maybe you're aggressive and you add a guy like Machado. Maybe you're a little more conservative and you add a guy like Brad Hand. Either way, I think this team has to make moves as though they're a competitor this year.
Yeah. No, I think you have to.
Yeah. But, all right, we got a lot of NHL draft talk.
We do, yeah.
So before we do that, we are going to bring you the return... The summer return of 7 or 6 seconds, where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
In the draft, the Sixers traded Mikal Bridges for Zaire Smith and a 2021 first-round pick that originally belonged to the Miami Heat.
They sure did. Now, we get into the NHL draft.
Okay.
And we talked about Rasmus Dahlin going number one.
Real quick, did you want to talk about this whole... You know, tirade that I know you want to go on about a certain sports radio show.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. A certain sports radio show. I know you have a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, before we get into the NHL draft.
Now, we got to keep this a little short.
If you follow me on Twitter, at Kay Collington, I tweeted out the other day that sports radio WIP, the big boys in town, they don't enjoy talking hockey.
I think it's known.
And that's something that's kind of been... it's not very secret. It's a poorly kept secret.
Yeah.
Is where I was going with that. So the other day I called. It was the eve of
it was the day after.
It was the eve of the NHL draft.
Okay, yeah, correct. The day after the NBA draft.
Yeah. And I forget who was on. I think it was Joe Giglio and Ike Reese.
Yeah.
And I called it 4:50. Their show ran until 6 o'clock. It ran right into leading off their Phillies pregame show. So I called it 4:50, right? An hour and 10 left in the show. I call. Their producer picks up and says, "Hey, what's your name? What do you want to talk about?" I said, "Hi, my name is Kyle. I want to talk about the NHL draft. It's tonight. I think there's some things that I'd like the Flyers to do. And, you know, I want to talk about that." And he goes, "The NHL draft?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "All right, I'll put you in the queue." As they do.
Yep.
So I sit in the queue. I hear them give out the phone number to call no less than 10 times. So clearly their boards aren't full. Right. When their boards are full, they stop giving out the phone number until they kind of whittle the numbers down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I sat there, 5 o'clock, 5:15, 5:30. 5:40 comes around. There's 20 minutes left in the show. I've been sitting on hold for nearly an hour.
Yep.
Not a word. 5:50. 5:55. They take their last caller. They sign off. Now, I haven't heard a word. The producer didn't come back on and say, "Hey, we're not going to get to you," or blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Absolute radio silence. Pardon the pun. 6 o'clock starts. They sign off from their show. It goes to commercial. 6 o'clock. I figure, okay, maybe they have me in line for the next host. You know, it's leading off for a Phillies game that people aren't, you know, insanely excited about. So maybe they'll take care of me on pregame here. You know, we're now an hour and a half from the draft, or 2 hours from the draft. And the phone goes dead.
Just disconnected.
Just disconnected.
Yeah.
I listened to these hosts talk for an hour about the NBA draft and Zaire Smith and Michael Bridges and this 2021 first and trading for Kawhi and blah, 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 blah. Not a single word about the draft in an hour.
Yep.
Where the Flyers have 2 first round picks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Drives me absolutely insane. And I'm not going to go on a huge rant about this.
I agree. I mean, that's what they are, though. They're bland. They don't know anything about the sport of hockey.
And if you don't want to talk hockey, that's fine. Like, if you let me come on and I explain to you my thing and you go, "All right, okay," and hang up on me quick, sure, that's fair. Even if your producer comes back on and says, "Hey, man, we're not going to get to you. Sorry," click, fine. But just absolutely ignoring somebody who's sitting on the phone for you for an hour, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
That's just not the way a company should run.
No, I agree. But, I mean, it's kind of what you expect. What probably happened is, you know, the producer probably put you through. These guys that know zero about hockey, they're not intelligent in the sport at all.
Joe Giglio actually talks some hockey. He knows hockey a little bit. I've never heard
him talk it. But chances are what happened was they looked at the screen and they said, "NHL draft, yeah, we're going to avoid that call. Yeah. We're not touching it."
And it's an absolute shame because
I wonder what would happen if you called the other station, because I know the reason
just call it the other station, Mike. If we're blowing stuff up, I could have called 97.5 the Fanatic.
Right.
Just say it. What's the point?
Okay.
Could have called 97.5 the Fanatic. I don't know who was on the air at the time.
I don't know either.
And but they don't really talk that much hockey.
No, but they might have talked more because the reason I think WIP doesn't is because they don't have the Flyers.
If it's Mikey Miss, he'll talk hockey.
Yeah, he's a douche though.
Nah, I like Mikey Mish. I don't have a problem with Mikey Mish.
Anyway, Gargano's even worse. But all right, move on.
Listen, we're not talking about Cuz.
Nah, he's a jackass.
No, the only person on WIP who consistently talks hockey is Mac now, and they cut him down to 2 shows on the weekends.
Morgani and Jones does it too in the morning.
Yeah, and they get shouted down by the biggest douche of them all, Angelo.
You don't like Angelo?
No!
All right, okay.
Listen, just because he's Italian like you doesn't mean you have to like him, Mike. No, right. He's an outrageous blowhard.
I think he's the best one on WIP, but...
Listen, I respect what he's done.
Yeah.
I respect the history of what Angelo Cataldi has done for sports radio in this city. I don't like his opinions. I don't like his attitude. I don't like how outrageous he is. It's just, I don't like it.
Okay. All right, moving on. We had the NHL draft.
All right, that's my piece about WIP. The reason we started this show was to talk hockey because we knew they wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I guess this kind of validates for me. It validates starting this show and the people that we have listening to this show because they just want to hear hockey content.
We love you guys.
About the city of Philadelphia. We do love you. We do appreciate you. And if you guys want to tweet at, I think it's Sports Radio WIP. I'm going to go look this up real quick. But if you guys want to tweet at them and let them know that you're not listening to them because you're too busy listening to us talk about hockey, you can do so at Where is it?
I can't find it. Can't
at Sports Radio WIP.
Yeah.
All one word on Twitter.
Now, that station went downhill as soon as that jackass Spike Eskin took the
Yeah, let them know.
PD
let
job.
Them know that you're not listening to them, and they're losing radio, you know, ratings, because you're too busy listening to You Would Think.
I like it.
Me too.
Moving on.
All right. NHL draft. The 2018 NHL entry draft emanated from Dallas. First round was Friday night.
Uh-huh.
The biggest move of the weekend was probably on Saturday when the Carolina Hurricanes made a big old trade with the Calgary Flames. Now, you saw this, right?
Yes, I did.
The Hurricanes sent Noah Hanifin and Elias Lindholm to Calgary. And in return, Calgary sent back Dougie Hamilton, Michael Ferland, and the rights to Adam Fox.
Okay.
Now, on its surface, this could go either way. I've seen people say that Carolina won in a landslide. I've seen people say that Calgary won in a landslide. And I've had seen people say that nobody won. And
I think
close.
It's an even trade.
I think it's pretty even. I think this trade really hinges on Adam Fox. He just finished his sophomore season at Harvard. Okay, so Noah Hanifin, 20 years old?
21-ish.
Yeah, he's...
Fifth overall pick back in 2014, 2015.
Yeah, he's a young stud defenseman out of Carolina, and their prospect pool is full of them. And I think, and I think that's why they're making this move.
Yeah, but they're even getting a young guy in Adam Fox, I mean.
Right, but if you think about it, okay. You're down, just on the defensive side of things, you're down Noah Hanifin. You're up Dougie Hamilton, who's a little older, a little more developed.
Not that much older.
He's 25.
No.
Look it up. You forget he was in Boston, too. He's been around. So you get Dougie Hamilton, who's...
Oh, yeah, he is 25.
Right. Who's a little older, a little more developed, maybe a little more ready to play big minutes at an NHL level. Hanifin might not have been ready to play 20 minutes a game yet. Okay, so you're down Noah Hanifin if you're Carolina. You're up Dougie Hamilton, who's a little more present. And then you're also up Adam Fox, who's potentially a little more future. Right? So you kind of get to stagger out and then drop Fox in behind where all your young guys are coming up.
Right.
And you kind of have Fox coming up behind them even to just start the next generation. And then I think you're up in that part of the trade. I think Carolina is net positive on defense in this trade.
Yeah.
And then offensively, you traded Elias Lindholm for Michael Ferland. And that's a step down.
Right.
Michael Ferland's kind of a third liner. He's a good bottom six piece.
And Lindholm could be a first line winger.
Lindholm has potential to be elite.
Yeah.
So I think you're up in the defensive side of things if you're Carolina, and you're up in the offensive side of things if you're Calgary. So I think it actually worked out really, really well for both teams. Obviously it did, or they wouldn't have made the trade.
Right.
But I don't think it's a landslide in either direction.
No, not at all.
The big question mark for me is Adam Fox. He just finished his sophomore season at Harvard.
He's very, very good offensively.
I agree with that, and I have no doubts about his potential as an NHL player. I have questions about his potential as a member of the Carolina Hurricanes, because I don't know if he's announced his intentions for this fall, but I assume at this point he's halfway to a degree at Harvard. I assume at this point he's going to finish it out.
Right.
Because you don't get halfway through a Harvard degree and then bail on it to go play top pair minutes in Carolina's AAA, you know, their AHL team.
Right. The Charlotte Checkers.
Right. Because he's not going to make the NHL team this year.
Yeah.
Not in their system.
To NHL ready.
I agree. But in their system, he's not going to make the top six.
Right.
So would you rather go to Harvard or play in the AHL?
Right. Yeah. He's probably going to stay at Harvard.
And then if you stay at Harvard this year, now you're three quarters of the way there. You're definitely going to stay next year.
Right.
And then after that, Carolina loses his rights. Now, they'll get first shot at re-signing him. But you get into that Will Butcher territory where you did your college. You get out, you're a free agent. You can go, you know, you can start a bidding war, right? Mike Vecchione did it.
Those guys are different.
Vecchione was different. Will Butcher?
I don't believe it was Will Butcher. Justin Schultz was the big one.
Right. And Jimmy Vesey.
Nah, Vesey was undrafted, I believe.
No, I don't believe so. I think you're wrong. I'm not sure, but okay. I believe you're wrong. Regardless, you're going to have teams bidding on you. And I don't know if Carolina's going to be able to entice him to stay. Now, maybe at that point in 2 years, they're a good enough team that they can convince him to come be a part of a winner. But, you know, if the interest is out there, these players almost never stay with their teams, right? Will Butcher didn't stay with who drafted him initially. I think Anaheim drafted him. I don't remember.
I think that was the Justin Schultz one. I think he was Anaheim. Okay.
Justin Schultz didn't stay with the team that drafted him. No. Like all these players, this has happened a couple times fairly recently.
Yeah, and Jimmy Vesey, you're correct.
He was drafted. Who drafted him?
The Nashville Predators.
And he ended up going to New York.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, he played 4 years at Harvard University.
Right. Was there any overlap with Adam Fox, or would they have... How long has Jimmy Vesey been in the league?
His last year at Harvard was 15-16. So...
Okay, so no overlap there.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that's... It's something that's been done, and if Carolina can get Adam Fox to stay in Carolina, I think they won this trade. If Carolina can't get Adam Fox to stay in Carolina, then I think they lost this trade. It's literally that simple. Now, I think it's close enough either way that they were willing to take that risk. But if you get him to stay with you and he turns into a top four, top two type of defenseman that people think he's going to be, it's a slam dunk.
Right.
You know, your top four in a couple of years could be Falk, Hamilton, Fox, and whoever they have down there. Hayden Fleury, or they have a couple of good
Jake
young
Bean.
Yeah, really they have good, a couple yeah. of really good young prospects in the defensive system over there. I like this trade a lot.
Yeah, it's a fun trade. I mean, it's for the outsiders, you know, that aren't attached to the city. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think Carolina was starting to develop a reputation of being a little bit too young. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Like they were putting too many eggs in the youth basket, and all these guys were going to need contracts at the same time, and they were all going to get old at the same time in a decade or whatever. So this kind of move, by moving a 20-year-old Noah Hanifin and a 22-year-old or however old he is, Elias Lindholm, it allows you to kind of stagger your ages, and it gets you a little bit of veteran leadership on this team. Because, like, Michael Ferland might not contribute too much on the ice.
Not really.
He's a 15 to 20 goal scorer.
Right.
But he can help in that very young locker room.
Yeah, maybe. So,
and then the same with Dougie Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
Because the average age of the defense corps in Carolina is like 23.
Right. And maybe they figure they could ship off Lindholm. I mean, they are getting a stud in Andrei Svechnikov.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, maybe that makes Lindholm expendable at that point.
That's where I was actually going with that, was the fact that Dahlin went number one to the Buffalo Sabres. And with the second pick, the Carolina Hurricanes selected Andrei Svechnikov.
Yeah.
Who was the consensus number two?
Yeah. He would have went one if there wasn't a Dahlin in this draft. Like, he's an elite scorer. I think in 44 games, he had 40 goals in the OHL.
Yeah, he played 44 games and had 40
it's
goals.
Absurd.
That's outrageous. Yeah.
He's going to walk on. He's going to make the team and put up a very, very good rookie season.
Yep, and I would also like to state that is the last time we use the words consensus for this draft.
Yeah. After that, things went crazy.
Yeah, because the consensus number three, Filip Zadina, ended up falling 2-6.
Yeah, I don't think he went to Detroit, right? I don't believe Detroit knew he was going to be there.
No, absolutely like at all. Not. No, because everybody on earth thought they were going defense.
Yeah.
Anyway, number three was Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Yeah, who kind of rose, you know, in the rankings in the last couple days.
But was still he was evaluated kind of in the 8 to 15 range. The reason he rose in mock drafts is because Montreal told people that they were going to take him.
Right.
That's what happened.
Right.
So they took Jesperi Kotkaniemi from Finland as a center. And there's a need in Montreal at center. But this kid,
of course.
Like, the experts all think that he's at least a year or two away from the NHL.
Yeah.
So I don't know what problem they're really fixing. Right? Like, if you get a guy who's a little more NHL ready, like, I think you need a defenseman. if you're them. And I think you need a winger. Like, you need everything except goalie.
Right.
You need people to play in front of Carey Price. That's basically what you need. So I would have liked to see them pick up somebody who's a little more NHL ready. But if they think
he has the higher upside, then...
Yeah. So they went with Kokkaniemi. And everybody said, okay, well, then Philip Zadina is going to go 4. And Ottawa said, no, we're going to take Brady Tkachuk from the United States development team. And he's got a couple years left at Boston University.
He might step on the NHL
this
year.
I think he might. Yeah. I agree. Although, did you see the tweet about 10 minutes after he got drafted saying he already requested a trade?
No.
Because Otto was already a dump. He didn't actually.
No, I know.
It was a joke tweet. Yeah. But Otto was a dumpster fire of an organization.
Yes, they are.
After the whole Mike Hoffman fiasco, there's still talk about getting Eric Carlson out of town. I don't know how I would feel if I was Brady Tkachuk. Like, yeah, you got drafted 4. Congratulations. It's an amazing moment for the young kid. Highest drafted Tkachuk ever. Higher than Keith. Higher than his older brothers. That being said, you're going to Ottawa.
Yep.
And there's some problems in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they take care of him.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he's on the NHL roster, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they lose a guy in Mike Hoffman, and they basically replace him with Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah, they're going to be bad this year.
Yeah, they will.
So I think they might let him get ice time and just learn how to play the NHL game.
Right, yeah. Have him in the NHL and then tank for a guy like Jack Hughes next year.
And Matthew Tkachuk did pretty well his first season.
He did,
so
yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe
for another Canadian market in Calgary.
Yeah, and Brady is bigger.
I think Brady's the better player.
Yeah, he's been evaluated as just a better player.
Yeah, he's got more skill. And plays with more of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. So after Ottawa, 5, Arizona Coyotes are on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And they went way off the board in this one. Barrett.
Yeah.
Barrett Hayton.
I think his guy was projected to go from the 10 to 15.
From the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds in the OHL. Barrett Hayton. He's a center. Arizona.
Yeah.
This one surprised me because their center depth isn't actually all that bad. Like Montreal, I knew they needed a center. Right, so I wasn't super, super surprised. Arizona, I really think they needed a defenseman. Because they have Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah.
Name another one of their defensemen.
Goligoski.
Yeah, how old is Alex Goligoski?
Yeah.
I really think they needed a defenseman with this pick, especially with a guy like Quinn Hughes or Adam Bockfist or Evan Bouchard on the board. So the fact that they went with...
They do have Jacob Chikrin, too. Let's not get rid of Chikrin.
He's not nothing, but the fact that you went with a center, I just... And not even the best-rated center on many people's boards at that point.
Right.
So, you know, we're not going to go through the whole draft here, but we are going to go through the top 10. So Barrett Hayton went to Arizona, which was off the board for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then finally, Filip Zadina from the Czech Republic... he played for the Halifax Mooseheads in the QMJHL, and he went to the Detroit Red Wings, 6 overall.
Yeah.
It's a great pick by Detroit.
It is. I mean, I expected them 100% if Zadina wasn't there at 6.
No one expected him to be there.
I would have expected them to go Quentin Hughes because he's gone. You know, he goes to the University of Michigan. It just would have made sense. It would have made all the sense in the world.
If Zadina fell past 3... Maybe he slips by Ottawa, but there's no way he slips by Arizona.
Right.
And then he slips by Arizona.
Yeah.
It's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Philip Zadina free-falled.
Right.
I know he only fell 3 spots, but it felt like an absolute free-fall, and I'm sure it did for him, too.
And Detroit, I mean, they have an aging Zetterberg.
Yep.
He gets a chance to maybe play with Larkin. Like, I think Zadina could make the NHL this year.
I agree. If that's your top line, if you put Larkin on the wing... And do Zetterberg, Larkin, Zadina.
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's
for sure.
Fun. And I still don't think Detroit's going to be very good this year.
And they still have Abdelkader, Athanasiou.
And they did add a pick later on that we're going to talk about in this first round, who I think could also make the NHL team this year.
I think it's close.
But we'll get into that. We're going to do the top 10, and then we're going to talk about the Flyers picks, and then we're kind of going to do a greatest hits for the rest of the round here.
Okay.
So they pick up Filip Zadina, who... If the Detroit Red Wings go into a rebuild like they kind of need to, then in 3 or 4 years, they're starting to put the pieces of a good young core in, right? They have Anthony Mantha. They have Dylan Larkin. They have Philip Zadina. They have Anthony Seau. They added Joe Valeno. We'll talk about him a little later. They have a good young core there.
Yep.
So they're a step along the process, right? They're not starting from complete zero. If they do end up going into a rebuild and maybe doing something like trading Zetterberg or,
right,
you know, something like that. So, you know, we'll see how Detroit does. Next was number seven. Quinn Hughes goes number seven to the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay.
Another phenomenal pick.
Yeah, it is. It's a great pick by them.
I saw him projected as high as four or five.
Right.
And the fact that he slipped to seven, I was begging the Flyers to try to trade up to that spot.
Right. I mean, I like his upside and his offensive potential. I still think the best defenseman in this draft, not named Dahlin, is Noah Dobson. And yeah, he slipped really far, too.
He did slip.
But I like Dobson more than I like Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, and honestly, I was making that call when Detroit was on the clock.
Right.
Trade up for Zadina.
Right.
But, you know,
I would have been fine with it if it was Zadina, yeah.
Yeah, imagine if the Flyers trade up to six and get Zadina.
Yep.
At six, it's outrageous. Yep. Okay. I think if he had slipped any further, the Flyers would have been on the phone.
Maybe. They might have been on the phone at six. It just might have cost it too much.
They might have, yeah.
We don't know these things.
So anyway, Quinn Hughes goes to Vancouver. They get somebody to play with Brock Besser. That's a good young core.
And they have a guy like Joel Levy. Yeah. Already in the pipeline. So
yeah, they're kind of in the throes of a rebuild. They're starting to kind of tick upward. The Sedins retiring was probably really, really good for them just in terms of cap space.
Right.
So Vancouver is kind of on the upward swing of the rebuild process. And I think a guy like Quinn Hughes, who could step right on the ice, I think he's pretty close to NHL ready. I think that's big for them. I think they take a big step further this year.
Maybe. I don't know if he makes the NHL this year.
I think he's playing. I don't think he goes back to college.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I think he's playing top pair minutes, first call up type of deal in Vancouver.
It's possible. I mean, they really don't have much to work with in Vancouver, so right, maybe. But.
And then we go to number eight, Chicago Blackhawks. From Sweden, they draft Adam Bockvist. Who, again, I saw projected as high as five.
Yeah.
And he fell to eight.
No, after the top three. Well, I guess after the top two, because nobody expected Zadina to fall. But after the top two, I mean, everything was pretty wide open.
Right. Kokoniemi and Hayton coming off the board so early really jumbled everything up.
Right.
And neither of them were really projected in the top 10. So it slid everybody else down,
right,
obviously. So Chicago gets Adam Bockvist. He's a good young player. I think he'll help that team.
Yeah, especially you have an aging Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested to see where that team goes, because that team is essentially five players. It's Kane, Taves, Keith, Seabrook, Corey Crawford.
Yeah, when Crawford's healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's essentially the team. So I'm curious to see if they blow it up or if they try to get younger and try to flip them, or like, I'm curious how they're going to go about it.
Right.
They didn't make the playoffs this year for the first time in I think 8 or 9 years. The Chicago Blackhawks era. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle the transition from perennial cup contender to a team that missed the playoffs. And you have a lot of money locked up in Kane and Taves and Keith and Seabrook and Crawford.
Yeah, Kane and Taves alone are making 22 mil.
I know. They're making like mil. They're making like 30% of the cap or something like
that. 10.5 each, I think. Right around there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Oh, also a little bit of news here. The cap was announced. $80 million.
Or
79.8 or whatever it is. But
it's a big jump.
It is a big jump. And I think teams that were close to the cap, like Chicago, are really, really happy about that.
Right.
That's what reminded me of it. And then we go to number nine. And the Rangers went off the board, too, a little bit.
A little bit.
They picked up Vitaly Kravtsov from Russia. He played in the KHL. He played well in the KHL.
Yeah, I don't love the pick, but...
Also, speaking of KHL news, Ilya Kovalchuk to the Los Angeles.
Yeah.
3 years, 6.25 per.
It makes sense. I mean, he obviously was probably looking for more than that.
I don't know.
I mean, I said it before that I wouldn't have signed him for anything over 6.5 or 7, and I wouldn't have signed him long-term. Like, I don't think
I would have signed him for over 5. You got to prove it to me.
Yeah. I mean, He's been here before. I don't think he's the same player as when he left, though.
No, obviously not. I mean, he's 34.
He's slower. The KHL is a slower game. He's slower. He still has the lethal shot. I mean, I've watched that. So he still has that lethal shot, which
you don't get as much open ice.
Right. It's a faster game where teams are going to shut that down more than they did in the KHL.
Yeah.
But the KHL, he just kind of sat in the OV spot all game and just let, you know, Clapper
just let him rip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so he signed in LA. He got the same exact deal that Patrick Marleau did with the Leafs. Three years, 6.25. So they get Vitali Kravtsov. They come off he comes off the board a little early. I think Oliver Wahlstrom was kind of considered the best of that next class of wingers.
Yeah, a little bit.
And the fact that Kravtsov got taken above him, Wahlstrom ended up going at number 11 to the Islanders. They made two really good back-to-back picks there.
The Islanders made out like bandits in this draft, yeah.
Number 10 was Evan Bouchard, who went to the Edmonton Oilers. He played for the London Knights in the OHL.
Yep, he's an Edmonton Oiler, so his career's over.
Yeah,
Moving on.
he's a London Knight. London Knight has gotten drafted in every single draft.
Yeah.
They said that little stat during the draft. Every single NHL draft has included a London Knight getting selected.
Sure.
That's a neat little fact.
Yeah, it is, but he's still an Edmonton Oilers, so sorry to hear Evan Bouchard.
I don't know, man. They still have McDavid. They're always a contender when they have McDavid.
Yeah, I guess.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, sure, but like they had McDavid last year and they were a train wreck.
Yeah. Oliver Wahlstrom and Noah Dobson back-to-back to the Islanders.
I love it. I mean, I think Wahlstrom was one of the top wingers in the draft, in my opinion. His shot's ridiculous. And Noah Dobson, like I've said, I think he's the best defenseman not named Dolan in this draft. So I think New York made out like bandits here.
Yeah, for me, Wahlstrom and Dobson kind of signified the end of the top-tier talent.
After that, it fell off.
Right. And if Kravtsov and Hayton and Kotkaniemi hadn't come off the board, they would have been gone by then, more than likely.
Yeah, probably.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think.
if New York had ended up with like Kravtsov and Hayton, that's much less impressive to me than Wahlstrom and Dobson.
I agree.
And I think if John Tavares stays in New York, that's a big part of the reason why. Because now you're playing with Matt Barzal, Oliver Wahlstrom, Noah Dobson. That's a young core that John Tavares can realistically think is ready to start winning.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think Wahlstrom has a chance to make the NHL. I don't know if Dobson does. I think he has to put a little bit more muscle on.
Yeah. But if he's got another year of juniors eligibility, they'll probably send him back.
Yeah, he does.
Now, I know Wahlstrom is eligible to go right into the AHL if he doesn't make the NHL.
Yep.
Because he came from the U.S. national team.
Correct.
So you can be a little more patient with Wahlstrom. You can put him on top line in the AHL. And if he really kills it and transitions to professional hockey, you can call him up whenever you want.
Right.
So they can be a little more patient with Wahlstrom, whereas Dobson, they kind of reach a decision point at the end of training camp. It's, does he stay on the team or does he go back to juniors?
Yep.
And I think they're going to default to going back to juniors just because he is a defenseman. They take a little longer to develop. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, and I think he needs to put a little muscle on. I mean, he could in the next, couple months.
I also don't necessarily think that the Islanders are ready to compete this year. So I think if you send Dobson back,
I think they want to compete this year. If they're trying to grab a guy like Tavares, I
agree, but who's in net?
I know. I mean, they did just sign a Stanley Cup winning coach.
Sure. also, Tavares news. He informed the Islanders that he's going to speak with at least 5 other teams.
Yeah. So, I think, I forget who Leafs were on, the Sharks were on.
Yeah.
There were a couple others.
Another real quick thing. We're going to miss this because it's You Would Think, and we always miss news. the RFA deadline is at 5 p.m. on Monday. Now, we're recording before that deadline, but over the weekend, the Flyers did sign Sam Marin to a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
It's a 2-way deal. It's,
it's an AHL contract.
Yeah. If he develops, it's great. If he doesn't, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
So, who's left? Hag? We'll go into the RFAs.
Yeah, we'll go into that later.
We'll talk about next week who they did and didn't sign. They're not going to re-sign Mrazek. That's about it.
Right.
I think Hag is actually the only big name.
It's not, I wouldn't even call him a big name.
The only NHL-ready name.
Yeah, sure.
The only, I think Stolarz, I think his contract is up.
He's RFA. They're going to move on from him, yeah.
Do you think they're going to qualify him?
No.
Okay. And then Lyon, who I think is going to get a qualifying offer at
probably.
Least, if he doesn't just get a contract. So, all right, we'll jump here. The Dallas Stars blew number 13. Flyers are on the clock at number 14.
Uh-huh.
This is the other first round pick from St. Louis as part of the Braden Shen trade.
Correct.
So we now know the final results of that trade. It was Braden Shen for Jori Lehterä, Morgan Frost, and from the U.S. national team, Joel Farabee.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this kid?
I like the pick. I mean, he's a speedy guy. He's a good two-way player. He's headed to BU next year. And we all know the success that BU has, Boston University has, with these prospects. So,
yeah, and if Brady Tkachuk goes back to school, they'll be teammates.
Yeah. I mean, he had 15 goals and 40.
Maybe line mates.
Right. He had 15 goals and 40 points in 26 USHL games this year.
26 games. That's outrageous.
40 points, 26 games. But, I mean, he projects as a top six guy. I mean, I think it.
Yeah, he's got a high ceiling.
That's why I have him, is a top six guy.
He's got a high ceiling. I like what the U.S. National Development Program has done recently. And there hasn't been too many big names come out of that system yet. But this year,
Larkin was in 2016.
Yeah,
from the U.S. development.
But that's a one shot. I'm saying the program didn't produce Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin being a stud produced Dylan Larkin. But if you look at this year's first round, there was a bunch of people who came through the U.S. system, right? Brady Tkachuk did, Oliver Wahlstrom, Joel Farabee. Like there was a bunch, and that's only in the top. You know, Keandre Miller, who you know we'll probably touch on later. Like the NHL or the U.S. national team put four players in the first round.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, for sure.
It's absolutely huge, and for a program that is really starting to come into its own. So anyway, the Flyers take Joel Farabee with 14. You know, a couple other guys go, and then at number 19, this is the one that got me.
Yeah, they went a little off the board, didn't they?
They went really off the board. Yeah. This guy was projected in the 30s or 40s.
I saw as low as 60.
Really?
61, I saw, yeah.
Okay. And his name is Jay O'Brien from the Thayer Academy Tigers of the USHS.
Yeah, Thayer has produced guys like Tony Amonte.
Yeah, no, they have
Jeremy
a pedigree.
Jeremy Roenick.
They have a pedigree.
I'm sorry, Charlie Coyle, Brooks Orpik. So,
you know my biggest problem with this selection?
I was just about to get there, so go ahead. Yeah,
you take it. It wasn't Jovellino?
Exactly. That was a big thing. I mean, apparently these teams knew something we didn't because he fell to 30.
Right. This time a year ago, Jovellino was the number two pick in the draft, sometimes the number one. He was right up there with Rasmus Dahlin.
Right.
Now, there's got to be something we don't know here.
I don't know.
Because Jovellino did not go two or three. He did not go one. He fell all the way to number 30. The Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah. That's the reason Detroit didn't get a defenseman. They probably won a defense, but
you can't
they
turn
saw,
down Jovellino at 30.
Right. You can't turn down Zadina
at 6. And you can't turn Zadina at 6.
And you can't, yeah, exactly. So like they got two guys that just fell right on their laps.
Jovellino fell past Jacob Bernard Docker. He fell past Nils Lundqvist. He fell past, like, just everybody.
Yeah.
He fell literally almost out of the first round. Now, they invited him. He was at the draft. You know he was nervous when they got to the late 20s. And if he had fallen out of the first round, how would he feel?
Yeah.
Also, another thing that I wanted to say. You heard Philip Zadina's comment, right?
I don't know if I did.
About Montreal and Ottawa?
No.
He said, I'm going to make them regret passing on me. I'm going to fill their nets.
I like that. I
the
respect
confidence
the
is unreal.
Yeah, I like
the
it.
The confidence is unreal.
That's the type of player that I want playing for.
And
me,
they're
though.
Both in division.
Yeah,
Ottawa, Montreal, and Detroit all play. Or wait, do they play in the same division?
Yeah, they do.
Oh yeah, okay. The realignment years ago, I never remember if Detroit's in the East or the West. No, they're not in the same division. Montreal and Ottawa are in the East. Detroit's in the West. We're stupid.
No, Detroit's in the East.
Dude, I don't know.
What the hell are you doing?
It's been a long day.
Detroit's in the East.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing?
Anyway, they're all in the same division. Let's pretend I said that. Philip Zadina said he's going to fill their nets because they passed on him, and he's going to make them sorry.
That's the type of player that I want playing on my team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Flyers picked Jay O'Brien. A lot of people had them taking Rasmus Kupari there, who went with the next pick to the LA
Kings. Or Rasmus Sandin.
Or Rasmus Sandin, who ended up going in the first round to Toronto. Another popular name I heard was Dominic Bach, who went to St. Louis.
Right. Or Severin Noel, who ended up going in the second round.
Yeah. Or Keandre Miller, right. Who went to the Rangers.
But
Orion, there was definitely some names that people wanted the Flyers to get there.
Yeah.
Jay O'Brien was not really one of them.
Not really.
You probably could have got him in the second.
Yeah. I mean, he was rated 61st best prospect by Hockey News.
Right. Like I wanted Jovalino real bad.
He projected to be a top 9, maybe even top 6 player. He had 80 points in 30 high school games at Thayer. I mean, pretty good. 80 points, 30 games.
It's decent. 2.5 points a game.
But yeah, he's headed to Providence College, so another college guy.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how he develops now that he has an NHL team to look forward to.
Right.
And I'm curious to see how this guy develops. And like, I trust Hextall.
I trust him when it comes to drafting. There's other areas that I don't really trust him with yet. So like, but
I kind of default to trusting him on this.
This time last year, everybody said Frost was a reach.
Right.
I mean, Frost was looking to go in the 40s
and then
or 50s.
Frost put up 110 points.
Exactly. And then the year before that was Travis Sanheim, who everybody said, who the hell is this guy? It's a reach.
The year before that was Travis Konechny.
No, it's Konechny flip-flopping.
Oh, you're right. Either way, I trust Hextall. He's done a really good job.
But Konechny also wasn't a reach. I actually got him late, but
okay. Anyway, you know, I kind of trust Ron Hextall because
when it comes to drafting,
he's proven
absolutely
it.
Do. Yeah.
Now he kind of turns his attention forward and looks at free agency.
Yep.
Because that's where he's been. I don't want to say he's been underwhelming.
I think it's a great word to use.
I know. I see. It's hard to say that because he hasn't had the tools.
Well, no, but you give a guy like Dale Weiss 4 years for $3 million or whatever it was. I mean, that's a bad contract to give up.
Yeah, but you also knew that you were in cap trouble.
Then why give Dale Weiss 4 years?
You also knew that you were in cap trouble for the first 2, maybe 3 years of that. Dale Weiss has, what, 2 years left on his deal?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so if you can't flip that deal, you can buy him out next year.
Sure, but you're still going to pay him that.
Right, but Dale... They don't care about the money out of their pocket. They care about the cap hit.
And if you still get cap off.
Yeah, if you buy him out, it's only $1 million in cap hit.
Sure.
You save 2/3.
Sure. It was still a bad signing at the time.
This is the first time Ron Hextall's had any real cap space.
Right.
That was also a bad class, and they needed a player.
I think this class is going to, I think, make me either trust or not trust Ron Hextall in free agency.
Well,
because if he goes out and makes another Wii signing.
Right.
Then I think there's question marks.
And since we're getting into free agency, one of the big chips this offseason was John Carlson.
And he is off the board now.
It's been announced that he has signed an 8-year extension with Washington.
Yeah, they threw a lot at him to get him not to
get the free agency. $8 million a pop.
Yeah.
$64 million spread out over 8 years. It's a huge contract.
But they had to do that in order to get him to not go to free agency.
Right,
anything
exactly.
less, he's like, hey, I'm going to see what I can get in free agency.
Right, but, exactly. And they might have been able to get him a little cheaper in free agency, but they wanted to get him locked up and not even give him the chance.
Right.
Which, you know, you can't really fault him.
He's got a big pay. I mean, he's doubling his pay. Last year he made 3.9.
Right, and we talked about Tavares. He's going to other teams, although I'm kind of leaning towards him staying in New York at this point.
I agree, especially after they re-signed Barry Trotz, or they signed Barry Trotz after. I mean, that came out after we recorded last week's show, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that situation's weird. For anybody who hasn't heard, if you've been, you know, not paying attention or whatever. But so Washington Capitals, they had to let go. Well, I guess not let go, but there was a clause
in
Trotz's contract. If he won the Stanley Cup, he would get a 2-year extension, and it was like $400,000 more.
Yeah, his original
contract.
His original contract expired after this year, but it had a 2-year extension option on it if he won the Stanley Cup at a fairly minimal re-raise.
Right. It was he was under contract at $1.5 million per year. It ended, and it was you just showed me something. Now I lost track.
It was a little bit of a raise for 2 more years.
Right.
And Barry Trotz essentially wanted to test his value.
Right.
So he declined that option, hit the coaching equivalent of the free agent market.
Right, because it would have been around $2 million. He just won the cup, and he's seeing guys like Mike Babcock, who's making 6.25. Joel Quenneville is making 6, and Claude Julien, who are making 5. He's seeing those guys, the top tier coaches, making all this money, and he just won the cup, and he's going to make around $2 million.
Right.
Less than that. So he said, all right, I'm going to see, you know, hit free agency and see where this brings me. And then he ended up signing with the New York Islanders, which is an interesting one.
It's a,
division.
Of, it's a little bit of a slap in the face to the Washington Capitals organization.
It's reported that he signed for at least $4 million. Okay. 5 years.
Nice little raise.
Yeah. That's what you get for winning the cup.
No, the 5 years doesn't really matter because coaches get fired all the time.
Yeah, but they do. Sure.
Length of contract isn't as important as salary.
I agree.
So, you know, he goes to a division rival. That first game is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, he'll still get a ring and he'll still get blah, blah, blah. I wonder if he'll get a thank you video message in Washington.
Yeah, he will. Of course. Yeah. He's from the damn cup.
Yeah, but it depends on how.
He won the damn cup.
Okay. Anyway.
But back to the free agency thing. We were talking about, I mean, Tavares, yeah. You said you think he's staying. I agree. He should be their target, though.
Right.
But then you have guys like James Van Riemsdyk. Maybe bring him back.
I'd be interested in that. He's scored, 27 goals every year in the last 5 years?
At least
27?
Yeah. Paul Stastny is another one.
Yeah, and I think if you can get Paul Stastny at a decent rate, which I don't know if you can, but if you can get him at a decent rate, he's a really good third-line center on this team.
Right. And then you have guys like Tyler Bozak or Michael Grabner. I actually like Grabner a lot. They can get him cheap.
Yeah,
but it's free agency, so I don't know how much you can get. I mean, cheap doesn't really come that often in free agency.
No. It'll kind of all depend on Tavares. If Tavares hits the free agent market, that'll set the line.
Yeah, and it'll push everybody. And it'll push everybody back. Like, everybody's going to wait to sign players until Tavares gets signed.
Exactly.
Because everybody's going to throw whatever they can at Tavares until they start, you know, and then they're going to realize, oh, shit, we failed. Let's move on to.
So if you're the Flyers, let's say you don't go after Tavares.
Would be a mistake, but
Let's just say you don't go after Tavares. On that first day of free agency, do you go after a guy like Stastny or a guy like James Van Riemsdyk and try to get him signed before you see what market value actually is?
Yeah, if he's not on their radar or they don't want to sign Tavares, then yeah, I'm fine with that. Okay. You could try to kind of get it, you know, under the radar where nobody's really expecting this because you got 29 other teams trying to go for Tavares. But
free agency opens on Sunday.
Yep.
And by the time we record next Monday, some of the dust will have settled. And you can follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast for breaking news on free agent day.
Chances are next week we're gonna have live updates during the show.
We're gonna know what's up. Mike, you said you're gonna be watching.
NHL Network all day.
Okay. So you guys can follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast for updates on where your favorite free agents are going. You can also follow Mike at Mike_Giletto and me at K Collington.
Yeah, I'll probably tweet out on Sunday, you know, all the updates and my thoughts on free agency. So
you can also find our show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Google Podcast, and Lastword on sports.com. Our logo is created for us by Ben at BennyTheJet55 or at FuzzForge. And until next week, until we know where everyone's going, we'll see you then.
Go get Tavares.
Where does he go?
He's staying in New York.
All right. I think he goes to Toronto. The reason we started this show was to talk hockey because we knew they wouldn't.